This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما إنك أنت السميع القريب المجيب. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My dear sisters and brothers, as you know, inshallah, today we're going to talk about the last 10 nights بإذن الله تعالى, which are starting tonight according to global moon sighting, inshallah. So subhanAllah, as we know, already, you know, two-thirds of these precious days and, you know, nights of Ramadan have passed by us and left us. And now we've reached the last 10 nights of this month, subhanAllah, just like that, just like a blink of the eye, an eye. And, you know, I know that this year many of you have been, you know, extra busy with lockdown. It's been difficult for a lot of people trying to, you know, balance between looking after your kids, homeschooling, you know, extra mess to clean up with everybody home, financial worries. A lot of people going through a lot of financial worries right now. And so, you know, as a result, a lot of people wouldn't have had the time to, you know, really have enough time to focus on this month in the way that you would have hoped. But alhamdulillah, the good news is that, you know, from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He saved the best part of this month to the last, you know, subhanAllah. And only Allah knows how much blessing and how many chances of forgiveness and mercy that Allah has, you know, given us in these last 10 nights, bi'idhnillah. And sisters and brothers, we need to realize, you know, just how much Allah has, you know, chosen and favored these last 10 nights over any other nights of the year. And that's why, you know, nobody who knows the virtue of these nights would allow themselves to waste this time. Because from amongst these nights is a night that if a believer stands and prays to Allah Ta'ala out of sincere iman, you know, hoping for the forgiveness and reward from Allah, Allah will forgive their previous sins, bi'idhnillah. As the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us, من قام ليلة القدر إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. Whoever stood in the night of Laylatul Qadr with sincere iman and hoping for the reward from Allah Ta'ala, Allah will forgive their previous sins, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So only Allah knows how many people, subhanAllah, stand in this night, and when the morning comes, it's like they're purified from their sins. And subhanAllah, laysa min Allahi bab'eed, it's not too far from Allah that He could forgive some, you know, all of somebody's sins, depending on how sincere that person was. Now, I want to just speak a little bit, first of all, about the reason why Laylatul Qadr is called, you know, why is it called Laylatul Qadr? Why is it called the Night of Qadr? Okay, it's important for us to know that, because if you're going to really get the most out of it, you need to understand what you're talking about. So just quickly, you know, from the reasons that's been stated by the scholars, one reason is because it's considered to be a night of honor, okay? It is a night that has a high status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why whoever stands, you know, in this night becomes a person of honor, you know, become beloved and has a status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah. Another reason they said is because, the reason it's called Qadr as well, they said because this is a night of decrees. Because it's on this night that Allah ta'ala reveals to the malaika whatever is written in al-lawh al-mahfuz, whatever is written in the preserved tablet, Allah ta'ala reveals that, you know, to the malaika for what's coming, for the coming year. Yani whatever Allah Ta'ala has decreed to happen in the coming year, this is the night when Allah Ta'ala makes that apparent to the malaika and, you know, shows them what's going to happen. So subhanAllah, from the, you know, the immense virtues of this night is that this night is the one in which Allah Ta'ala chose to send down the Quran, to send down Al-Quran Al-Kareem, right? And in Surah Ad-Dukhan, Allah Ta'ala says, you know, after Bismillahi Rahman Rahim, Hamim, Wal-Kitab Al-Mubin, Inna Anzalnahu Fi Laylatin Mubarakah, inna kunna mundirin. Fiha yufraqu kullu amrin hakim amran min indina inna kunna mursilin. So Allah Ta'ala says, Hamim wal kitabil mubin, by the, you know, a clear book. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatin mubarakah. We sent it down in a blessed night. And verily we were from the warners. Right? Fiha yufraqu kullu amrin hakim. In this night, Allah Ta'ala makes apparent all the decrees that's going to happen in the you know, the coming year. So Allah Ta'ala tells us in these verses that this is a night which is mubarakah. It's a night which is blessed. And from amongst the, you know, the blessings of this night is that worship done in this night is better than 1,000 months. Right? This is something Allah Ta'ala also told us in another surah, Surah Al-Qadr, which is equal to, or it's more, you know, around about 83 years and 4 months of worship. So imagine, subhanAllah, worshipping Allah for 83 years and 4 months of worship. This is how much a person can get reward, or even more than that, from just standing in one night for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is really, you know, subhanAllah, a gift that Allah has given us, because Allah knew that the believers are going to have different lifespans. You know, some of us may only live 3 years in Islam. Some of us might live 10 years in Islam. Some may live 50 years. But subhanAllah, from his, you know, because Allah is Al-Kareem, he gave us Laylatul Qadr. He gave us Laylatul Qadr. So subhanAllah, we can, you know, like, it's like if we made the most of Laylatul Qadr every year, it's like we had lived Allah and maybe thousands of years, you know, in worship, subhanAllah. So it's really a huge blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also from the blessings of this night as well, is that we know that the, you know, the angels, the Malaika and Jibreel alayhi salam, they descend to the earth in this night due to the amount of mercy and blessings that comes down in this night. Now, in one narration, in Abu Dawud, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanAllah, he tells us that إِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَ تِلْكَ اللَّيْلَ أَكْثَرُ مِنَ فِي الْأَرْضِ مِنْ عَدَدِ الْحَصَى. That in that night, in the night of Laylatul Qadr, that the number of malaika, subhanAllah, on the earth are more than the, you know, the number of malaika that descend are more than the amount of pebbles on earth, subhanAllah. So this is how constricted the earth becomes due to the magnitude of malaika that descend in this night, subhanAllah. And you can read Surah Al-Qadr as well. Allah Ta'ala says, بعد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلِ الْقَدْرِ. Verily we sent down the Quran in Laylatul Qadr. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. What will tell you what is Laylatul Qadr, right? لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. The night of Laylatul Qadr is better than 1,000 months in worship. تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر. That the, you know, the angels and you know, Jibreel alayhi salam, they descend in this night. سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر. So peace will be, subhanAllah, on earth until, you know, this peace that's descending until the Fajr comes on that day. All right, so when is Laylatul Qadr? So we don't know the exact night. As most of you would know, we don't know the exact night. It's something that Allah Ta'ala, you know, kept hidden from us. But the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he told us to seek it in the last 10 nights. It's definitely in the last 10 nights, right? He also told us that we should seek it on the odd nights. And most likely it's the 27th night, right? But we shouldn't put, as I say, don't put all your eggs in one basket, okay? So it most likely is the 27th night. Like some of the companions, like Ubay ibn Ka'ab, they would even swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it was the night of the 27th. You know, one example of that is like Ubay ibn Ka'ab radiallahu anhu, he said that I observed its morning for 20 years and I found the sun coming up in the morning with no rays. So he was adamant that that's it, it's only the 27th. Now, how do you know it's the Laylatul Qadr? How would you know it's the night of Qadr, right? Well, there's a few things. First of all, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that it's like a calm and pleasant night, right? It shouldn't be very, like, extremely hot or cold. It shouldn't be on the extreme side of temperature. The next thing, too, is that he said that in the morning, the sun rises with no rays, okay? But as for, like you said, when you're in the night, how do you know whether it's that night or not? There's a few things the ulama have mentioned. One thing they said that, you know, you could feel it's like a bright and luminous night. Like you feel as if the sky is lit up, or you feel that you feel like there's nur in the atmosphere, right? Another thing is that the heart of the believer will feel a sense of peace. So you feel like a sense of calmness coming down on you in a way that you didn't feel in other nights. Another thing, they said that you'll find it easy to stay awake and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this night. And another thing they said is that, you know, you'll feel a greater sense of energy and sweetness in your prayers, right? More than you felt in other nights. So this is the kind of signs you're looking for. It's more like you can see, not necessarily physical signs, it's more spiritual signs that you feel, a sense that you feel in this night. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq, give us success, inshallah, in, you know, achieving this night, be in that. So what I want to move on now to talk about is, you know, what to do in these nights. Okay, so realize that, you know, these coming nights, starting from tonight, as I said, if you've just joined, you know, this is a time for us to take out from our busy lives, you know, to reflect. You know, it's a time of reflection. It's a time of self-introspection. It's a time of, you know, khalwa with Allah Ta'ala. It's a time of, you know, being alone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, cutting yourself off as much as possible from the dunya. And, you know, it's through this action that a person, bi-idhnillah, will achieve real change in this month, inshallah. When you approach these 10 nights like this, that's when you're going to really see the change. And that's why when these 10 nights would come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Aisha radiallahu anha tells us that, you know, when these nights would come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, shadda mizarahu, right? That he would tighten the, you know, the belt on the izar, wa ahya laylahu, and that he would, you know, make the night alive with worship, wa ayqada ahlahu, that he would, you know, wake up his family, not to let them sleep the whole night. Like, wake up and pray. Don't waste this time. Don't waste this, you know, precious opportunity Allah has given you to, you know, get his forgiveness in this night. So we know that the other thing too, that he would go for i'tikaf in the masjid in these 10 days, right? So that's why in these 10 days, and especially in the odd nights, it's really important that we take a break from those things which are going to distract us. Now, one of the things you need to be especially wary of, obviously for most of us, it's going to be social media, because a lot of us are still in partial lockdown, you could say. So we're not so distracted with the things outside that we're normally distracted with. But, you know, I think the biggest struggle for a lot of people is being distracted with social media now. There's just so much going on. So be wary of that, especially when we're talking about the odd nights. And especially like in the nights of the, you know, 23rd, 25th, 27th, 29th. And in particular, 25th, 27th, those nights. With those nights, be very careful not to waste your time, inshallah, in these nights. Try your very best to stay off the social media and, you know, anything else distracting, socializing, anything like that that's going to distract you away from your ibadah. Try your best to avoid that, and just because it's going to cause you to lose focus on what you want to do, right? It's in these nights, praying extra prayers as much as you can, you know, reciting Quran, doing dhikr, dua, sadaqah, you know, tawbah, like charity and repenting. I'll come to that in a minute. I'm going to give you a bit of a routine to follow during these nights, inshallah. But basically the idea is, you know, you're trying to, you know, strive to show Allah Ta'ala the level of, you know, sincerity of your iman. And you want to show Allah how much you want Jannah and how much you want to be saved from the fire in whatever way you're able to do that. Okay? So you need to realize that the way to get taqwa is through ibadah, right? As you remember when we've spoken before, or you would have heard other lessons about how, you know, what is one of the reasons Allah told us to fast, right? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba alaykumus-siyamu kama kutiba 'alal ladina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun, right? Allah Ta'ala prescribed fasting upon you just as he prescribed on those who came before you. Why? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, right? To get taqwa. But now what we want to talk about is how do we get, you know, how do we get that taqwa? It's through ibadah, right? Allah Ta'ala showed us in the Quran, the way to get a taqwa is through ibadah, is through worshipping Him. That this is how we, you know, train our nafs. We do tazkiyah to nafs, purification of the soul, purification of the heart. It comes through ibadah. It comes through striving in ibadah. Like you see in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhan nas, u'budu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum walladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. Right? Oh, who created you? And those who came before you. Why? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Worship your Lord so that you may receive taqwa. Okay, so this is how we get taqwa. So striving sincerely in ibadah, like I said, this is from the greatest ways to reform the nafs, to purify the nafs and reform yourself. And so if you want to, you know, grow as a believer, if you want to evolve as a believer and change and become a better believer than you were before Ramadan came, it means that you need to, you know, basically push yourself past your normal comfort zone. Okay, we all know that growth can only occur when you're working outside your comfort zone. So you can't be just praying the amount of prayers that you normally pray when it's not Ramadan, right? You need to exert more effort, put more effort into what you're doing. So in other words, you know, pray far more than you normally pray, especially in these odd nights coming up, right? Doing far more dhikr than you normally would. Making much more dua than you normally would. Much more tawbah, much more. Now, if we look at the action of the Prophet ﷺ in these nights, we see, subhanAllah, that his feet would actually become cracked and swollen from how much he would pray. And, you know, he was the one who, we know that his past and future sins were forgiven, subhanAllah, and how much are we in need for the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it gives you an indication of how much we need to, of course, we can't always necessarily strive to that level, but it just shows you how much we need to be paying attention to these nights, right? And as I mentioned earlier, Aisha radiallahu anha, she told us that he would, you know, as described in the hadith, ahya laylahu, that he would, you know, bring this, you know, he would cause these last 10 nights of Ramadan, he would, you know, enliven them with worship, you know, bring them to life with worship. Now, another thing he taught us is that having high hopes is not enough. You know, you need to accompany your hopes with actions. You know, we all want Jannah, right? Inshallah, we all want Jannah al-Firdaws. We all want, you know, the highest level of Jannah, Ya Rabb, and we want to save ourselves from the fire. But one thing that the Messenger of Allah showed us is that does not, you know, you don't just, you know, wish for that. You can't just lie in bed wishing for that. You need to actually do actions to bring, you know, bring that about, inshallah. Like we see that one of the, you know, Sahaba, they one time came to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they asked him, you know, they told him that, you know, Ya Rasulullah, I wish to be in your company in Jannah. I wish to be in your company. And we notice, what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell him? He told him, فَأَعِنِّي عَلَى نَفْسِكَ بِكَثْرِ السُّجُودِ. Like, then help me with yourself by increasing your sujood. So if you want to be, you know, with me in Jannah, in the Jannah al-Firdaws, in the highest level of Jannah, then you need to also help yourself by increasing the amount of prayers that you pray. You know, strive with your body through ibadah, right? So what this hadith shows us is that, you know, inshallah, if you want to reach a high level with Allah, then it doesn't happen by just wishful thinking. You know, just having that hope that, oh, maybe, you know, I'll be there, right? You need to really, what we need to be realizing is we need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a humbled heart, right? Showing Him how much you want His pleasure, how much you want His Jannah. And the way you show that is through your sincere worship of Him in these nights, and of course, obedience to Him as well in these nights. Of course, staying away from haram and staying away from, you know, anything makruh, like detestable, you know, doubtful matters, things like that, right? So, subhanAllah, it's through following this method, inshallah, that will bring about the greater lasting change, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. what I'm going to get into now are more of the practical side of this talk. So starting off with what are some tips for being in the right mental state, okay? So if we look at the practices of the Salaf, we can gain quite a lot of tips for, you know, how to enter these nights in the right mental state. So for example, we know that the Salaf, they used to consider it to be like mustahab or something, you know, liked to take ghusl on the night that they felt was going to be Laylatul Qadr. Like on the night they felt was the night of decree, that they would take ghusl on that night, or some of them would even take ghusl every night in these last 10 nights. Okay, so it's that in itself just gets yourself mentally ready for doing your best in this night. Another thing that's mentioned is that they would, you know, put on their best perfume or their best clothes to worship Allah in this night. You know, some of them would burn incense and, you know, spray aroma in the masjid or the place they're going to pray. So there's some ideas for you to make yourself feel that, you know, there's a different atmosphere around yourself. It helps get yourself in the mood and mentally prepared to. Another thing I'll just add here too is that it's very important to get your sleep during the day. So if you're going in these 10 nights, if you're going to have a choice between, if you're having a choice between favoring your nights over your days, favor your nights. Yani, do you understand? Put your, you know, put your greatest preference on your night over your day. So it doesn't matter if you sleep during the day a little bit in order for yourself to be able to stay awake at night. Now, I'll come back to this tip later, but, you know, sometimes you may need to even sleep between Maghrib and Isha, for example. You may need to get that little sleep between Maghrib and Isha, then wake up at Isha time and you can stay awake the whole night. It's much easier, honestly, it's much easier to stay awake the whole night if you do get that bit of sleep between Maghrib and Isha. All right. But now I'm going to move on and talk about a couple of other tips, inshallah. So the first one is the most important thing, actually, is to enter these nights with the right intention, you know, the sincere intention that you really want the forgiveness of Allah in these 10 nights. You really want to be from those who Allah saves from the fire in these nights. You know, Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَمَن يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهُ. Whoever sincerely believes in Allah, Allah will guide their heart. So it all starts with you, right? If you've got the right approach towards these nights, you sincerely want that from Allah, Allah will guide your heart to knowing what is the right thing, and He will make you successful in finding the night of Qadr in these nights, inshallah. All right, that's the most important thing. Of course, you can also, you know, make dua and say, Allah ma'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husna ibadatik as well. You know, say this dua too. Oh, Allah, help me in, you know, remembering you and in thanking you and having the best and most perfect worship of you, inshallah. Okay, so that's one tip. Then we come to a second tip, which is it's important for you to have a mental idea of what you're hoping to do in these nights, like a program. What's your program that you're intending to do during these nights? And inshallah, in a minute, I'm going to go through a bit of a routine that you can use if you like. Of course, it's something you can use for, you know, everyone's free to adapt it the way they like, but I'm going to give you an idea of what you could be doing during these nights, inshallah. The third thing is having husnul dhan in Allah, that as long as you're doing your best, then, you know, that's what counts. Okay, don't compare to what other people can do. Maybe someone can stand the whole night in prayer, mashallah, may Allah accept it from them. But, you know, if you, all you're able to do is pray, you know, many raka'at of and saying Surat al-Ikhlas in every raka'ah, then alhamdulillah. Yani, you've got to, you know, have husnul dhan that whatever you're able to do, that's what Allah wants to see. That's the most important thing. Okay, we all have different capabilities. We all have different circumstances. You might have a new baby, for example, and you're not able to, you know, pray much. You know, you might have to get up all the time, feeding the baby, things like that. So you'll be doing dhikr of Allah, for example. You'd be doing astaghfirullah, you know. So you've got to just cope with your circumstances and just your most important thing, like I said, having that intention to get the best out of these nights. You know, basically show up your best, whatever that might be, right? Another, you know, advice I usually give to my students is, you know, give some sadaqah before you start these nights. Give some sadaqah, because sadaqah is a way to seek nearness to Allah. And by you doing that, Allah can open up. He opens khair for you. He opens blessings for you. So think to give sadaqah before you start on these nights. And especially give sadaqah with the hope in your heart that Allah is going to guide you to finding Laylatul Qadr and being successful in this night, right? Another thing too is tawbah. Before you come to this night, make as much tawbah as you can. You know, ask Allah for forgiveness. Ask Him to remove the sins and remove the hardness from your heart. Because this hardness in the heart, you know, these sins, they can basically, you know, can become like shackles on your heart that prevent you from coming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this night, okay? So there's some tips before coming into this night, inshallah. Then we come to what's a suggested routine, all right? A suggested routine. So as you know, most of you, inshallah, are probably praying tarawih prayers like after Isha. So you can just stick to that. You can do your tarawih prayers, for example. I mean, if you're able to pray the whole night, like with long, long raka'at, mashallah, like you probably wouldn't even need to be in this lesson, right? But for most people, they probably can't stand the whole night doing long raka'at like the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was doing, okay? So basic routine for you is like pray your tarawih as you normally do, then sit for a while and read Quran, for example. You know, so read Quran, read as much Quran as you can for a couple of hours. And do some dhikr, right? Then get up and pray as we come towards like the second half of the night, or we're coming into, you know, like the early hours of the morning, say like 2 o'clock, something like that. Now you can get up and start another set of prayers. Okay, so you can get up and do another set of prayers. Pray, and then in between those prayers, for example, you know, making istighfar, you know, astaghfirullah as much as you can, you know. Making dua, of course, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, calling upon Allah by His beautiful names, you know, Ya Ghafoor, Ya Rahim, Irhamni, you know, like making dua, Ya Rahman, you know, call upon Allah by His names, repeat them over and again, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rahim. Okay, so you can repeat the names of Allah ta'ala, like invoking Him like this. Very importantly as well, while doing all this, reflect over your past. Right? Reflect over your past. Reflect over where your life is heading. This is a very important thing to do in these nights. And especially if you believe it's Laylatul Qadr, it's very important to do this too. You know, reflect over your sins. Reflect over the hardness of your heart. You know, reflect over the diseases of your heart. We've all got these diseases and sins that build up in our heart, right? So whether we're talking about you know, having jealousy for others or having bad feelings towards others or, you know, hatred or, you know, having doubts that Allah is going to answer our dua or things like this. There's all these different diseases that we get. Too much love for dunya, too much ghafla, too much, you know, heedlessness, being away from Allah and not focused on akhirah, right? Or seeking dunya instead of seeking akhirah. So there's all these different diseases. You know, it's really time for you to be very introspective, you know, looking into yourself, realizing that you've got, like we've all got these diseases, no matter who we are. We need to ask Allah, you know, to help us to reach a higher level by, you know, purifying our heart. And as I said, you know, you're purifying yourself by making tawbah, asking Allah to forgive you for these diseases and ask Him to remove them from your heart. And making istighfar, because al-istighfar, you know, saying astaghfirullah a lot, it polishes the heart as well. Okay, so as you can see, the idea is this is a time for what we call sincere muhasabah, right? Muhasabatun nafs, like, you know, calling yourself to account, and also, you know, tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like, you know, as well, like how many times we stand before Allah with laziness, you know, instead of standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our prayers, you know, really paying attention in our prayers and trying to strive to do our best in our prayers, how many times we stand there lazy, just thinking about other things and not really focused and not even trying to focus, right? So this, and then there's ungratefulness too. How many times are we not grateful? How many times are we always thinking about what we don't have instead of what we do have? Like there's so many things that we fall into, right? So this is why we need to be really pondering on all of these things. And you know, like I said, you know, calling ourselves to account, or you know, reflecting over our true state. The other thing I should also mention too is, like, unfortunately, a lot of people, you know, they've missed fasts from previous Ramadans. Now, I'm not talking about people who've got excuses. I'm talking about people who might have left fasting for like, you know, they haven't made up their days from like 10 years, you know, with no excuse. They just have been lazy and making them up. People who've missed prayers, you know, missed paying zakah. Some people, they miss paying zakah. They don't pay zakah. Their money has been sitting there all this time and they haven't paid zakah, you know. So these are all things we need to fix this up. How long are we gonna let life go by, and we haven't rectified these affairs between us and Allah? Otherwise, we're gonna be meeting Allah while we, you know, meet Allah on Yom Qiyamah with all these missed fasts and prayers and not having paid our zakah, which was due upon us, right? So this is something we need to be really reflecting upon, especially now. And if we see that we've got this neglect, we need to fix it. All right, we need to fix it. Now, another thing as you can do as well, which is, you know, really recommended, because the idea you really want to try to, you know, break yourself down before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these nights. You know, it's about really humbling yourself down. And one way you can do that is by repeating certain du'as that we learn from the Quran and Sunnah. For example, you know, to say the du'a of Yunus, for example, where he says, La ilaha illa ant. Subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. You know, I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship except you, Ya Allah. Glory be to you. Verily, I am from the wrongdoers. You know, when you keep saying that, La ilaha illa ant, subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Repeat it over and over again and realize, you know, how much you have oppressed your own self in so many different ways. And say some of these du'as. Like, also you've got Sayyid al-Istighfar. It's called Sayyid al-Istighfar. Allahumma anta rabbi la ilaha illa ant. Okay, that du'a, you can find it in your du'a book. So you can get your du'a book out and read those du'as of forgiveness, inshallah, and repeat them over. They are the things you should be saying in this night as well. And then, as you know, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us a special du'a to say if we feel it's the night of Qadr. So any of those odd nights, or when you feel it's Laylatul Qadr, say this du'a, which the Messenger of Allah taught Aisha and the Ummah after her. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afa fa'afu anni. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni. Right? Oh Allah, verily you are the most pardoning, who loves to pardon, so pardon me. Okay, so say that a lot too. Don't just say it once. Keep repeating over and over. Say it in your sajda. Okay, so these are some ideas to do for your routine, inshallah, when you're coming to the night of Qadr. Now, if you feel tired, like there will be a point where you probably feel quite tired, what you can do to refresh yourself, just go and take a new wudu, right? Renew your wudu, because that will really freshen yourself up. If you want, you can drink some coffee. I sometimes do that to get myself back into action, inshallah. Drink some water as well. Water is important. If you're not hydrated well, it's hard to stay awake. Another thing is not to spend all these 10 nights the same. All right, don't spend all these 10 nights the same. If you can, that's awesome, but not everybody can. So what you do, you prioritize your nights. So we know the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, seek it in the odd nights. And he said, don't miss the last seven. And that was especially if you're a weak person, you can't stand a lot. Don't miss the last seven. So based upon that, we know that you'd put your maximum energy into like nights like the 23rd, 25th, in particular 27th, because of the reason I mentioned before, and also the 29th, right? But especially the 27th, you're going to put your maximum effort as much as you can, but don't just only do the 27th. Like a lot of people, as we know, they only, you know, strive on the 27th and they leave the other nights. That's not a good plan, because what if it turns out to be another night? Because the scholars have there's a disagreement amongst the scholars whether, you know, does the night of Qadr, does it rotate around, or does it, is it the same night every year? Another tip as well, you can do to make this night special for yourself is to try to achieve two of the deeds that bring the reward on Yom Qiyamah of the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day when there's no shade except his. Okay, so one of those people that is mentioned in that hadith is the person who gave a secret sadaqah. All right, the person who gave a secret sadaqah, so secret that it was like his, you know, left hand did not know what his right hand had given. All right, so if you can do that in this night, that's definitely something recommended to work towards, because this is the reward for them on Yawm al-Qiyamah, that they will be, Allah Ta'ala will shade them with a shade that nobody will have this shade. There's no shade on Yawm al-Qiyamah except for his shade, right? So, and as we know, subhanAllah, so many people are going through a lot of hardships in this ummah. So this is really a time for us to be, if you know, you want to get purified in this night, you know, you need to be also thinking about, we've got to think about our brothers and sisters around us. We've got to think about all the people going through hardships. You know, you want to get close to Allah, but you're not ready to, give for the sake of Allah. So, yani, that's very important for us to realize that that's one of the greatest ways it's going to be, Allah's going to open the doors for us, inshallah, in these 10 nights by us thinking about other people who are going through hardships, inshallah, okay? Another thing is, the other description that's mentioned in the hadith too is that person who remembered Allah in private so that their eyes shed tears. Okay, so as well, here's another thing. So during these nights, like you're making all this dua, like I mentioned, you're doing all this tawbah and istighfar, like that by itself should hopefully bring some tears. But let's say it doesn't, then try to make yourself cry. Even if, you know, you can't cry, try to make yourself cry, because crying is something that softens the heart down, okay? And often the reason why we can't cry is because we just have a hard heart. So that's what's recommended, inshallah. And that also is something that changes you too. Now, some important things I need to mention here, okay, before we continue. And that is, I always get this question every single year. We need to talk about it. So obviously, women often will have their menses during these last 10 days. Now, a lot of women unfortunately think that, you know, when they have their menses, that because they can't pray, that they should just go to sleep all night. You know, I do, you know, that's, unfortunately, a lot of people think like that. But what, if we look at the, you know, the action of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it mentions that, you know, ahya laylahu, right? It says that he made his night alive with worship. It doesn't say that you can only pray. All right, there are other acts of worship that you can do. So if you're not able to pray, there's so many different acts of worship, which I've already mentioned. All those other acts of worship, you can do all those other acts of worship, right? So if you can't pray, you make yourself busy with all those other things I mentioned, okay? But do not waste these nights. Do not waste these nights just because you're not able to pray. Mothers or people who are working, I know that's more of a struggle. You've got to wake up to a newborn baby that wakes up at like 6 o'clock in the morning, or you have to go to work. So the best sort of approach for you would be, if a mother, for example, she can get some sleep during the day when her baby is down. If you're working, it could be when you first come home from work, you have some sleep so that you're able to stay up longer. Maybe you can't stay up the whole night in your case. So what you can do is like pray for a few hours, maybe sleep for a couple of hours, put an alarm on, a very good alarm, and then wake up again. At least you feel like you did your best. Okay, so you've just got to really, you could say, twig the routine to suit your lifestyle and what you're going through right now. One more thing I do want to mention too before I come to the end, I'm nearly finished, inshallah, is that there's also a lot of new reverts, right, who they don't know many surahs of the Quran. You know, what do? They don't know how to read a lot of Quran, and now we can't go to the masjid to pray behind an imam. So, like, for you, if all you know is Surah Al-Ikhlas, like, you may only know Qul Hu Allahu Ahad, right? That does not matter, you know? Just pray every rak'ah with Qul Hu Allahu Ahad, and just try to pray many, many, many rak'ahs as much as you can. Keep getting up and praying. Right, so you pray them two by two when you're doing Taraweeh, you're doing the night prayers. Keep on praying and saying whatever surahs you know in your prayers. You can't read Arabic, sit and read your English translation. Sit and read your English translation. And then you've got your dua book, get your dua book out, read the duas. Even if you can only read them in English, doesn't matter. Okay, but the most important thing is you're just trying to do your best for the sake of Allah. That's what it all comes down to. In Surah Al-Mulk, Allah Ta'ala says, خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا. So Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Al-Mulk that He is the one who created both death and life. Why? To test which of you are best in deeds. He did not say most in deeds, He said best in deeds. So what counts the most is your sincerity, that you're trying so hard. You know, you may not know much at all, but you could do better than somebody who knows more than you. Like, you could do far better than someone who maybe knows the whole Quran off by heart. Maybe you're, you know, you've got the sincere tears and repentance from your past sins more than someone else who may know the whole Quran, and they may have more knowledge, far more knowledge than you. All right. So what counts is your sincerity. And that's what's going to bring that that long lasting change, inshallah, after Ramadan, inshallah. Okay. So I'm going to wrap up now. And once I wrap up, we can maybe have some questions. So, like, let's start, like, in conclusion, if we're talking about how to be successful in achieving the night of Qadr, you know, Laylatul Qadr, and achieving lasting change, it comes down to just a few things, right? So number one, your sincerity. How much you want that? How much do you want that change? How much you want to be from those who Allah forgives in these nights? You know, how much you want to free yourself from the fire? That's what it comes down to, number one. Then number two, how willing are you to strive hard and do your best in these nights? Okay, this is what's going to bring about greater and lasting inner and outer transformation. Like, Ramadan should be a time of great inner and outer transformation. You should leave Ramadan feeling like your heart is softer. You're more aware of yourself. You're more aware of your sins, things you need to change about yourself, and outer as well. You're trying to, you know, obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala outwardly in your actions and obedience to Him in whatever He commanded us, okay? And then lastly, the other thing is that, you know, also you're turning to Allah with all your heart and soul, right? You need to be turning your heart, you know, turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as you can with all your heart and soul. Like, if you look at something that Ibn Jawzi said, rahimallah, he said to adopt the behavior of a small child. You know, when you see a small child, when they want something, what do? When you don't give your child, your son or daughter, and they're a small two-year-old, you don't, or a one-year-old, you don't give them what they want, what do? They cry until they get it. Okay? So you want Allah's forgiveness. You want Him to save you. You want Him to save you from the fire of the next life. You need to, you know, make dua, beg Him and cry to Him until you feel that Allah's answered you, and that, you know, you feel like, you know, purified, inshallah, from what you're doing for Him in these nights, inshallah. Now, realize that all that I've mentioned today, this is all like a spiritual wash for your soul. That's what Ramadan should be, and especially these 10 nights. This is the cream of Ramadan, sisters. The last 10 nights is the cream of Ramadan. It's like a spiritual wash for your soul. And, you know, this is what you call the true spiritual retreat. Now we find a lot of people, they pay thousands of dollars to go on some spiritual retreat, but Allah is giving you the spiritual retreat for free. Okay, subhanAllah. Doesn't matter where you are in the world, you can go on this spiritual retreat for free. And lastly, have husnul dhan. Husnul dhan means have the best hopes in Allah, that whatever you have done, that Allah is going to give you what you want. Okay, because remember that Allah is Ash-Shakur. From the beautiful names of Allah, He is Ash-Shakur. Meaning that He, subhanAllah, many times you do things for people, they don't appreciate it, right? But Allah is the most appreciative of what His servant does for Him. And not only that, He rewards them, you know, from, as we know, from 10 to 700 times normally. Imagine in Ramadan, you know, if Allah normally rewards for our deeds from 10 to 700 times, how much does Allah reward us in Ramadan? Much more, especially in these last 10 nights, the best nights of the year. So always have the hope that you've done your best. Now leave it to Allah to see your reward, inshallah. Allah will never let you down. So in conclusion, I ask Allah tabaraka ta'ala to make us from those who are given success in striving to do our best on the night of Qadr. I ask Him to also make us from those who are forgiven in, you know, this month of Ramadan. And I ask Him to make us from those who are saved from the fire of the next life. And I ask Him to make us from those who enter Jannat al-Firdaws al-A'la, the highest levels of Jannah. I ask Him to lift the trials from our Ummah. I ask Him to return us back to the Masajid, and to make it easy on us to be able to visit once more, you know, our beloved Mecca and Medina, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. وَأَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَسُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ نَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ نَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَنَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ. So inshallah, if you have any questions, I'll take your questions inshallah. So someone was asking, how do we know when our menses is ended? So basically, you'll know it by either two signs. Either you'll see like the white discharge that comes at the end of the menses, or you'll you know, basically it will fade out. So normally it fades from red to brown to yellow and fades out. Once you see it's completely gone and there's nothing left, then go take ghusl and start to pray and make your intention before Fajr, the time for Fajr, like before the Adhan for Fajr, to fast your next day, inshallah. I'm just going to check Facebook to see if there's any questions on there. Oh, I can't see it. So I'm not sure if there's any more questions. So if you want to ask any questions, inshallah, sisters, I can take them, or brothers, if there's any brothers there. I can't see any questions there. Okay, inshallah, if no one's got any questions, we'll wrap it up, bi-idhnillah. But barakallahu feekum for attending. I ask Allah Ta'ala that, you know, you benefited. And as I said, inshallah, I ask Allah Ta'ala that we'll all be successful in making the most of these 10 nights, inshallah. Okay? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair. Barakallahu feekum for attending, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum.